You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Help KBOO reach our Give Guide fundraising goal and get a chance to win a Portland Trailblazers fan package courtesy of Give Guide. This offer is only available if you donate today, December 17th. To donate and for more information about the Portland Trailblazers fan package, visit our website at kboo.fm/give.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stay tuned as we take a look back at the fight against Native mascots in light of the Cleveland baseball team's name change. We have some new music from DJ Shub and much more coming up.
Shaking, the feathers start waving, colors so amazing, the jingles start moving, moccasins moving, shook, rock the beach, yeah. It was a Friday night, the buses start shaking, the feathers start waving, colors so amazing, the jingles start moving, moccasins moving, shook, rock the beach, yeah. Moccasins moving, shook, rock the beach, yeah. It was a Friday night, the buses start shaking, the feathers start waving, colors so amazing, the jingles start moving, moccasins moving, shook, rock the beach, yeah.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, gather your feathers. We about to fly. Oh, we about to fly. Together, we intertwine it together, because in this bind it should never feel like we were blinded forever. We shouldn't mind it together, alignment is better. Whether or not we're lost in this void, we'll find it together. We've weathered this weather, because if you didn't know, then now you know. We're storytellers, reincarnated energies, respectively turned earth dwellers. We about them past lives, with their fast lives, to the ancestors who are past pipes, and everything in between, a human being connected to that life. Allowing me to breathe, although they can't see, its senses are probably far beyond you and me. The plants have a spirit energy, we will feed on the seeds, and if they're not quite edible, we will turn them into beads and wear jewelry that gives us protection. You could wear my necklace, think I got it at a powwow in Texas, I can't remember. No wait, it was Denver at the Coliseum. Peace to the Navajo tribe, my native brothers and sisters. I came from Minnesota, a mini Yap Dakota. Spirit Lake is the reservation that I'm enrolled in. A family of survivors. I can't believe I'm here and I'm still alive and well, baby, I'm thriving. Had to cut the fried bread. I wanna make some wild rice together later on, and we wild for the night. First, can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in the yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk? Is it really hard? Please, can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in the yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk? Is it really hard? I'm like a hippie with a fade. Get lifted in different ways on my path of enlightenment. Would you like it hit or hit me on a different day? Unless you're trying to ride this wave, unless you're trying to make this feel like your favorite holiday. I want to take my shoes off and prance around, laughing in the yard while we dancing to some magic sounds. Wagging out, picking raspberries and mulberries and strawberries. Grandma used to send us to the woods to pick choke cherries. It wasn't so scary, really those were happy days. She sent us down a hill where there was a massive patch of sage. I'm a sage patch kid, you dig? Eating hot dish and it was delish. I almost burnt my lips. She had an apple orchard, it was just too early to pick. We had to wait for fall, but by then we'd be gone. So we sang songs, played with dogs in the lawn or the pasture. Gravel roads kicking up dust and cattails, tall grass in the back. You heard the laughter, that sweet laughter. Now can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk? Is it really hard? Please can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk? Is it really hard? Can you teach me the importance of growing my own food? Can you teach me how to put love into everything I do? Teach me what it means to forgive and give gifts without expecting anything in return. I'm just ready to learn. I wanna burn that same sage I picked when I was just a kid, so it can bring me guidance. I want to tap into what my great-grandparents provided on the island of Borinquen. Live off the land and go completely off the grid, with a tiny house, a lot of land, star fruit trees, plantains, bananas, avocados, and all that. And we can make juice and cherry blossom green tea. And while I'm playing chords, chord you could sing to me deep into the night as the coquille sing back to us peacefully. Those little beautiful island frogs, and while the street dogs fall asleep, we all start nodding off. We pass out in the hammock and I have the same dream of you teaching me how to garden. You teaching me how our ancestors harvest. You're showing me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk. It's not hard. You're teaching me how to garden. You're teaching me how our ancestors harvest. You're showing me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk. It's not hard. Thank you so much for everything. Sleep well. Let's go on a walk in the morning.
All right, we're ready.
Ready, girl.
We're now going to be listening to a probably outdated rant, but I just think it's fun to look back. This is from about 2014, and this is a rant that I recorded on the Daily Show segment where they had Washington football team fans meet a bunch of Native activists and folks who are against the team name. That clip definitely caused a bigger conversation around the use of Native mascots, and we've come so far since then with Washington football team dropping the name finally, and now the Cleveland Indians, or formerly the Cleveland Indians as well, and we're looking forward to see who is next. But I figured it'd be nice to look back at clips and things, and then we're also going to hear a TEDx talk. Marlene Dana, I think is how you say it. Her TEDx talk, Indigenous Peoples in Maine Are Not Mascots. That was recorded last year, exactly a year ago to the day of recording this. We also have Love You Some Indians by Rowie Shabala, which is a show favorite and a fan favorite. We've gotten many calls when we play that one. So stay tuned.
Cleveland loves the Indians. Everybody loves them some Indians. Love you some Indians. Be the Indian and not the cowboy. Throw on a war bonnet. Tell me it's fashion. Tell me how imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Go to your local truck stop. Buy some dream catchers made from China. Hang them on your rearview mirrors of your Jeep Grand Cherokees, your Pontiacs, your Winnebagos, and as you drive down I-40, your vehicle will catch the dreams road-killed by manifest destiny. And this whole time, where your radio chimes, this land is your land, this land is my land. Love you some Indians. Honor them by making them mascots. Turn them into cartoon characters. Costume yourselves in crimson paint. Use the blood off of redskin. Smear it all over. Cover every inch. You are Indian. Add big black eyes, big smile, and white, white teeth. Don't forget the fake feathers. Cover your skin. Don't tell me it doesn't come with privilege. Cover it. Hide like you're ashamed of pigment, like it separates you from the norm. Tan that hide, work beneath suns, make it so scarlet it becomes purple in the shade, add feathers, add bows and arrows, you are Indian, now dance. This stadium is your bonfire, you are Indian, practice your tomahawk chop, you are Indian, welcome the Braves that have a higher enlisting rate in our armed forces, welcome the Kansas City Chiefs as they make their way to the field for the halftime spectacular, welcome the Seminoles as a ghost of Osceola haunts the Enfields. Washington Redskins, don't change your name. Instead, hashtag Redskins Pride. Make social media our battleground. We all know that Indians don't have Twitter accounts. We still use smoke signals. Applaud the Chief Wahoo's bright white chompers as it casts you a reflection on how to love you some Indians. Go paint the town. Double coat over history. Whitewash the red bricks of the reservation. Let's have Indian days in our school. Use November to teach our students the turkey dance with colored construction paper, headdresses, and teepees. Now go home. Wash off the paint. Go back to your thinking that you honored your team. Back to thinking that you honored the Indian. We are only costumes. Back to thinking that you only find us in Western and Disney films. Go back to thinking that we only exist in history books. Go back to thinking that all of this was just fun and games. Now shake my hand and ignore how your fingers lasso around my wrist, tying us to our ancestors, yet we still survive. Now tell me how you loved you an Indian.
So some of you may have caught The Daily Show last week, which featured a Native panel of activists, including friends of the show Greg Deal and the 1491s, along with others, including Amanda Blackhorse, the lead plaintiff that got the Washington football team's trademark revoked. Now, there's been a lot of drama before this segment aired on Thursday with one of the, they had a panel of Washington football team supporters. And one of those was a lady by the name of, we'll just call her Miss Odell. And she went to a lot of news reporters, news sites and things, saying that, you know, she felt threatened and afraid, and the natives were accusing her of all sorts of horrible things, and they wouldn't let her speak. And she was so frightened, in fact, that she called the police after the screening. She had left the recording in tears, and she had called the police, and the police had told her that there had been no crime committed. Now, before, you know, anyone had seen this clip, it sounds terrifying. You know, you have a group of Native American activists who have been fighting this name for a very long time, and you have a group of steadfast fans of this name. And you bring them together, of course, it's going to get a little heated. And you know, according to some of the panelists on the Native side, it did get a little heated. But unfortunately, before anybody had even seen the footage, this had already blown up with Miss Odell's testimony saying that she was crying and shaking and afraid because no one was letting her talk. The Native panel was very aggressive, and she was afraid. Again, she was afraid. And she was afraid she was going to be defamed. She called the police, everything. So this story gets around. The story has been almost gone viral, I want to say. But it has only been from the panelists' side. And by the panelists, I mean the Washington football team panelists. No one has really gone to the Native panelists before this. They had one quote from Amanda Blackhorse, and I think one quote from Tara Hoska as well. But they repeated the same quote in every single article. Nobody seemed to reach out to the rest of the panelists, and there were at least, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 panelists there that they could have talked to, and nobody reached out to these people. So it had begun this large much ado about, I don't want to say nothing, but it had begun this large drama involved with the taping and, you know, many people were very nervous about how this was going to be portrayed, myself included. A lot, you know, not all, but some of them focused more on the mean, scary natives ambushing the poor Washington football team fans and, you know, took the story and ran with it, took one woman's word and ran with it and took it as gospel before anyone had even seen the clip. And then now that has come out on Thursday, everyone sees that it wasn't exactly as that woman, as Miss Odell, had described. And it was a lot more civil. She's standing in a room with a lot of calm natives who are trying to talk to her. At one point, you do see her crying. And I believe it's Bobby Wilson, who is always classy as ever, hands her his handkerchief. And there is a handshake as well. I mean, it's very obvious that, you know, this was blown out of proportion. And now that this footage has been out, some of the Native panelists have begun to speak out and write about their experiences on The Daily Show, because what they didn't show was they took the 1491s to a Washington football team tailgate party. And unfortunately, they only aired the part with Jason Jones and did not show what the 1491s ended up going through. And Mick Z, from the 1491s wrote out a article that was posted on Missoula News first, speaking about his experience. And, you know, it's something, unfortunately, that, again, that didn't air. But I feel that it's very important to get out there, because all we've heard so far is the story of this poor white woman who is terrified by this group of natives who marched in there and accused her of being a racist. And when we finally see that that is not the case, you know, it makes us wonder why things like this blow up so quickly. Why all of a sudden, you know, why they didn't bother to ask the native side of the panel, you know? No one really seemed to reach out to them. They used the same quotes from Amanda and Tara, but it didn't seem like anybody was, you know, wanting to get a quote from the other side as well. And, you know, why is that? Why do we only hear one side of the story, especially, you know, when we haven't even seen the footage yet? And now that we've heard the native side of the story, you know, where everything was actually very calm, she seemed to be just overwhelmed. They were not expecting to speak with actual natives. And when they arrived, of course, things were a little bit tense, as you would expect. But it wasn't this ambush. And again, some sites have been using that terminology of the wild Indian ambush on the poor Washington football fans, you know, this crazy Indian ambush. And that's not what it was at all, as we saw on Thursday. So back to the tailgate, they unfortunately were not able to use this footage, and it's possible they were not able to use the footage because it was so volatile. You know, McZee writes that, you know, as they walked to the tailgate, people were blowing smoke in their face. A man yelled, "Thanks for letting us use your name." People would yell at them to go home. And then as he stood in line waiting for the bathroom, he was wearing his Caucasian shirt, which is a parody of the Chief Wahoo logo, only it is a white man with a dollar bill or a dollar sign coming up from behind his head to represent a feather, and it says Caucasians on it. DG Indian has been seen wearing this shirt. It's a very popular shirt. So he was standing in line waiting for the bathroom, and a white woman comes up to him and is like, "Is that supposed to be funny?" And then she told him, "I will cut you." And of course, I can't use the direct quote because there's inappropriate language in it, but basically she threatened him with physical violence. And she had two very angry looking white men behind her as well. And you know, it was just one thing after another with these fans who they didn't even talk to them. It was the second they saw Indians at this tailgate, it was immediately game on. It was anger, it was pure rage just at the sight of Native Americans. They couldn't even open their mouths at this point. Just at the sight, they became angry and rude and started yelling horrible things at these people. And you know, unfortunately, again, that did not air. I really wish it had, because a lot of the time people say that we blow this out of proportion, and really this happened. Unfortunately, it did not air, but this is something that happened. And you know, McZee said that he was actually afraid for his life, and I don't blame him. Walking into the lion's den like that is extremely scary. And so now, thankfully, there have been some interviews with Tarahoska as well as McZee and others slowly coming out now with their side of the story, and more people are starting to realize, oh hey, maybe this isn't as mean and horrible as we made it out in our minds. And again, why is it that people tend to go immediately for the Indian ambush when it comes to things like this? Why does that get flipped so easily? Why is it so easy to believe that a group of Native activists, which include artists, lawyers, all of these people have degrees. These are very well-educated people. And yet when the articles of this came out before the show came out, it was more just a wild band of Indians came in and called these people racists, and they were aggressive and rude and made a poor white lady cry. When on the other side, you have three Native men walking into this tailgate party with a camera crew. There's a camera crew there, and even though there's a camera crew there, it does not stop these people from threatening them, from saying horrible things to them, and just being absolutely despicable. And yet no one really decided to cover that. They decided to cover the white tears instead. And we really have to wonder why that is. Why is it more important? Both, you know, the whole situation, again, was blown out of proportion. It was a heated discussion, yes. She did cry, yes. I guess it can be best described by McZee himself when he says, "I think back to the tailgate. The man blowing cigar smoke in my face. The man who mockingly yelled, 'Thanks for letting us use your name.' The group who yelled at us to go the F home. The woman who threatened to cut me. The dude who blew the train horn on his truck as I walked by the hood. I think of all of that, and I think back to Odell crying and trying desperately to get out of a room full of calm natives. I thought she was crying because she was caught unawares and was afraid. But I realized that was her defense mechanism, and that by overly dramatizing her experience, she continued to trivialize ours. It was privilege in action. And I realized these things, and something else became incredibly clear. She knew she was wrong." It also came out that another one of the panelists was also quoted saying if he had known he was going to be meeting with Native Americans, he would not have worn his Washington Redskins jacket. What does that say about these supposed diehard fans trying to defend their team? They were also asked if the name is changed. At the end of the segment, they were asked if the name is changed, would you still be a fan? And all of them said yes. Absolutely. We're now going to listen to one of my favorite clips from the segment. And it's pretty much self-explanatory. So enjoy.
My great-great-grandfather's full-blood Cherokee Indian. Show of hands, who has Cherokee or any Native American? Brian, what do you got in you?
Cherokee, but I have no idea how much or little.
Right.
I'm actually 1/12.
1/12 Cherokee.
As 1/12 Cherokee, I am not offended.
Personally, I should prefer supposed to see the Aborigines.
And the Indians, too.
And the Indians,
good.
Too.
This should be most enlightening.
What makes the red man red? Red?
Teach them all about red man.
What made the red man red?
Days. Thanksgiving lies and Columbus Day. Tell me what I know more than the teacher. Tell me what I know more than the preacher. Tell me why you think the red man is red. Stained with the blood from the land he bled. Tell me why you think the red man is dead. With the fake headdress on your head. Tell me what you know about thousands of nations. Displaced and confined to concentration camps called reservations. We died for the birth of your nation. Hollywood portrays us wrong. History books say we're gone. You got a church, say we're wrong. We're from the earth, it made us strong.
For many moons, red men fight pale faces.
Savages, as savage does. The white man came and ravaged us. Caused genocide, look in my eyes. And tell me who you think the savage was.
Ill-faced.
Savages.
Ill-faced.
Savages.
Indian celebration continued late into the night.
Rest what's best for me to kill my culture. America made a mess of me. You inherited everything we died for, and all we get is a goddamn mascot. Manifest destiny. Rest what's best for me to kill my culture. America made a mess of me. You inherited everything we died for, and all we get is a goddamn mascot.
Redskins, redskins, red souls, redskins.
For many moons, red men fight pale face. Face sometime you win, sometime we win.
Redskins.
Happy belated Indigenous Peoples Day. As a child, I was anxious. You could tell just by looking at me. I had long, unruly hair that frizzed up around my face. My eyes were a deep shade of brown, and I often worried so much and slept so erratically that I formed dark circles under those eyes. It was kind of a mess. I worried a lot. I worried about big things like the wind and the rain knocking our house over, or my dad not making it home safe from work. I worried about little things like squabbles with my siblings or having to constantly pronounce my unusual name for my teachers at school. What we now call anxiety, my parents, affectionately, but maybe a bit exhaustedly, referred to as my fears. I've moved through life now with this anxiety, and I've learned to use it to give me a bit of an edge. I have something in me that sends me very strong signals when things feel wrong, and I get very motivated and driven to fix them until they feel right. Although I struggled with my fears, I was not an unhappy or miserable child. I loved long walks in the woods with my dad, learning about birds and animals and throwing rocks into the stream. I loved my mother's delicious cooking and how her hands felt cool on my forehead when I had a fever. I loved my younger siblings most of the time. And I loved my Penobscot culture. The songs, dances, language, stories were all a constant source of comfort and relief. They grounded me in the world. I learned about the mighty hero Gluskabe in our legends and how he was once a young boy, learning lessons and making mistakes. The little girl in me still finds solace in this ancient wisdom. I can vividly remember the first time I felt self-conscious about who I am. It was a heavy blow dealt to me by a popular children's movie, Peter Pan, by Walt Disney. We are probably all familiar with this story. Peter is the eternally young boy who travels from Never Never Land to take children from their home to go have adventures. One of these adventures takes them to an Indian encampment. Now, why would we place Indians in Never Never Land, where make-believe things live like mermaids, pirates, and fairies? Now, when I first saw these Indians on screen, I thought, wow, these people are like me. However, any sense of possible pride or representation quickly faded away when I saw how we were portrayed. They look silly. They look stupid. The Indians had red-skinned faces. They spoke in broken English. They used the triggering and violent racial slur, squaw, to refer to the women. It's hard for me to say. The women were either trollish and mean or sexy and silent. When they sang a song called "What Makes the Red Man Red," I was filled with so much confusion and shame that I sank back in my seat and I felt that maybe I didn't even understand who I was. I was 6 years old. Little did I know all of this internal conflict and unease would manifest itself decades later in being able to create positive social change for my people and even help write state laws. I move through life and I hold my culture close. I learned about the beauty and the pain of being indigenous. 500 years of the intergenerational trauma, the rippling effects of colonization, attempted genocide. It can be really overwhelming. However, it is balanced with the fact that we are still here. Indigenous people have shown a fierce resilience, and we have held on to our culture and values with a grip that is thousands of years in the making. I am my ancestors' dream come true, simply by living and existing and knowing who I am. And I owe it to them to use my voice often and honorably and to break destructive cycles. So that's what I did. I became active in advocating for the removal of Indian mascots for sports teams when I was in high school. Yay. I saw my peers in other schools dancing around in fake headdresses, fake war paint, basically wearing my existence as a costume. I got angry. It was a lot of the same feelings that were stirred up when I watched Peter Pan, but now I was ready to do something about it. These mascots are not just offensive, they are actually harmful. They are degrading. They are dehumanizing. They mock and marginalize important sacred parts of our culture. They are wrong. I made it my mission to fight back. When I was appointed as ambassador for the Penobscot Nation, I was able to use my years of activism experience in my new role, helping to shape and create public policy and law. This year, in 2019, Maine passed a law to ban the use of Native American mascots in its public schools and universities. We are the first state in the nation to accomplish this. It's awesome. I will forever cherish the role that I played in making this happen, and I have the deepest gratitude for everyone who has fought this battle with us. As I stood in the State House with my daughters by my side as the governor signed this bill into law, I felt a sense of powerful peace. I wanted to reach back in time and hug that frizzy-haired, anxious little girl and tell her to keep fighting for what is right. She will face a lot of hard work, self-doubt. She will stand in front of rooms of people and tremble because they are so angry at her for speaking her truth. And she will speak it anyway. Thank you. Changing the world for the better has never come about easily. Shaking up power structures and having to convince other people that you are just as human as they are is exhausting. But when I think about what my ancestors went through, when I think about the future I want for my children, and when I look deep within myself, what choice have I ever had but to keep fighting this fight? Social justice is a marathon, not a sprint. We plant seeds of change, and if we are lucky, we see them grow into lasting and meaningful cultural shifts. The Indian mascot fight in Maine has not always been a success story. A lot of us have faced a lot of ugliness and racism. I've been threatened with rape, with murder. I've been told that a lynch mob will come find me. I've been called a squaw. I've been nicknamed Princess Runs Her Mouth. All of this from people who think their Indian mascot honors me, right? I get angry hate mail to my email, voicemail, even delivered to my house. All of these things need to be handled with care, and I don't take it lightly, but they don't scare me. What truly scares me is when we lose our sense of shared humanity. When we see other human beings as enemies or obstacles, one-dimensional objects not worthy of respect or equality because they're different from us and we don't understand them. When we lose our ability to have compassion and love, that is when we will crumble as a society. The Indian mascot battle has always served as a study in psychology and empathy. If we tell you something hurts, you don't get to decide that it doesn't. Thank you. I've been called a lot of terrible things, some of which I won't share here, but I've also been called a powerhouse, a hurricane, a rock star, a change maker, and a truth teller. Now, I've learned to love this side of myself, and I appreciate her for her courage. But most days, I see myself as that nervous little girl, caring too much about too many things, working so hard to find those plateaus of peace and progress. Now that I am a mother, I get to soothe that part of myself by teaching my daughters to be empowered and to be confident, but to also share the burden and engage others to speak truth to power and elevate the voices of the oppressed. I've even learned to love my anxiety. It does give me an edge on my good days, and it teaches me how to cope on my not-so-good days. I have been hesitant to discuss it publicly, because let's face it, As a woman of color, I need to work extra hard to be taken seriously. So why would I put anything out there that may make me seem weak or crazy? However, it is such an important part of my journey and has really helped shape who I am. And it also serves as a reminder that we are all fighting battles that nobody knows about. All the more reason to remember that shared humanity. The ban on Indian mascots in Maine has made this state a safer and more inclusive place for my people. It's a huge accomplishment. We do have work left to do at the state and national level, but I think it's okay to stop in this moment and really smell these flowers. Indigenous people are still here. We are not a died-out race that lives in Never Never Land. We are not Halloween costumes, and we are not sports mascots. I celebrate that existence and that resilience every day, and I invite you all to celebrate with me. I also challenge you to think about what that means to you. How will you move about all your spaces and make them safer, more tolerant, more inclusive? We are in a time right now where our differences can really divide us and scare us. So how will all of us come together and work towards good? I am a multitude of things. I am a mother, I am a daughter, I am a sister, I am an ambassador. I am a Penobscot Indigenous woman, and I am not a mascot. K'chi Wiliwani, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio or pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask. We'll see you next week, Indian Country.
With a drum, a song, this prayer, this change of time. This is the true reckoning, the human awakening. Together, brothers and sisters, I will no more. Together, brothers and sisters,
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Have you gotten your flu shot? It's never too late to protect yourself, your family, and your community against the flu. This year, it is more important than ever. Black and African Americans, people of color, pregnant people, people without health insurance or a regular health care provider, people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, and people 65 and older are encouraged to get a flu shot. Multnomah County Health Department and Portland Community College are hosting a free weekly drive-through flu vaccine and COVID-19 testing clinic that will be held every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. until March 31st, 2021, at PCC's Cascade Campus Parking Lot 1, located at 701 North Jessup Street in Portland. Entrance is on North Albina Street. You can drive through, bike through, or walk up to.